introduced today to episode 122 of the Dire Weasels podcast, a real-ish Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am your DM, Cody Boker, and with us today we have some amazing, wonderful players. This is the second portion of the Steph episode of the Monkey Murder Mystery. And as with that, I'm just going to sort of introduce everyone and then we'll get right into the action. So we have Forrest playing Evan. We have Molly playing Starella. We also have John playing Connor Quigg. And we also have Steph, whose character I don't think has actually been revealed yet, but I know that some old Dire Weasels listeners will recognize a very bright and a shiny personality. You know, something eclipsing of the other characters. Sort of like, I don't know about this. All right, we're just going to go to the episode. All right, here you go. Sorry. All right, here's our sleep episode. Bye. All right, so you guys are outside the monkey's house, and it's sort of like shut. It doesn't seem to be. The door's just shut. What are you guys doing?
I'll open it.
All right, you open the door, and you see a small little room. It seems a little bit bigger on the inside here, because it's sort of like decorated, but like right in the middle of the floor, there seems to be like a rug and a table, but like right in the middle of the rug is a dead body of a monkey. Oh, it's sort of like this little kitchenette area, and then there's like a place for guests and whatnot, and then like there's a, like it's like a sofa facing the window. There's like pictures on the wall of like the monkey's family, some like flowers, and there's flowers all around the monkey where it's dead, but they just left it here.
I'm going to turn to Stu and I'm going to say, hey boss, I think this is the monkey.
Yeah, I didn't realize that when she said he died recently, he really, really died recently. Ew.
How fresh does it seem?
You can smell it as soon as you open the door, so it's probably a little old.
So, like, it does have the stink of, like, the at least the beginning of decomposition?
Yeah.
Okay. Not that Connor knows what that means, but...
I will once again attempt the porcupine, version of your name. Excuse me.
I think she needs a lozenge.
Oh, he's not here, but like if you have any questions, I can try answer best I know.
That'd be great. How do you how do monkeys prefer to be buried? Is there a ritual? Is there a sermon we can give? Can we
they prefer
give this
to be buried balls deep in other monkeys?
Can we
I
give
mean,
this
don't we all, but
sir, proper send off.
I'm very glad I did not make another animal that was a frog in this.
Cody, I'm gonna roll nature to see what I know about how monkeys would like to be buried. Can I get advantage since I've been living here for a while?
Yes, you may.
Thank you.
Wait, why are we burying it and not inspecting the body?
I got a 21.
Monkeys usually aren't buried. They're just usually decomposed in the middle of the forest.
Oh, no. Okay.
Does anyone, like, hear Evan be like, why are we burying?
Oh, no. I mean, we should definitely look at the body first. That's totally fine. I'm thinking about what we do with
from
it.
From the back of the sheep, she just sort of gestures to the whole scene. Is like, this is what he would have wanted.
Oh, dear. When she says, why aren't we looking, I just take two steps and I stare really hard at the monkey, but I don't do anything else.
Can I roll, like, a medicine on the monkey?
It's alive!
You're gonna go, like, kind of, like, look at the monkey's body? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, super to, like, dead. Figure out what killed it, y'all. Gah! I'm throwing this fucking die away. I got a nat one, Cody.
Can I roll? I don't know if this is going to work, but could I roll animal handling?
I don't...
Even though he's dead? No.
I don't think so. Forrest, with your medicine check, as you're sort of like inspecting the body, you're looking at the body...
What do I learn, like, Cody, for my nat one?
You learn, it's like, oh, it's definitely dead. It looks like it was, like, you're like looking at it, it's like, that's weird. It looks like it's like stabbed right through the heart. Like there's just a gaping hole where its heart used to be, and it no longer like you're like, oh cool.
This monkey was shot through the heart, and you're to blame. You give love a bad
name.
Bam, okay, anyway. No more. Copyright, no more.
Yeah, Forrest, Evan is just like, yeah, just shot through the heart, yeah. Animal handling? You can roll it, but I'm saying you roll it at a disadvantage because these animals are very weird and strange.
Oh, so it's, I see.
As you're sort of like looking at the animal, looking around, you're like, this monkey is acting like a humanoid, and it's very concerning for you. But you notice, like, as you sort of like look down at its hands are dirty. Like it has a bunch of like, it's got like a bunch of scuffs on its hands of like dirt and sort of like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just like dirt. It's just like dirt kind of like rubbed in, but it's sort of like smeared on there.
So does it seem like, he did not die. He didn't die here. Maybe he died outside and he was brought in here.
Oh, that was John's check. Oh, and it doesn't matter. It looks that way. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of the room, like currently pointing out to Connor, look, it was stabbed in the heart, and going about all the evidence about
and
how
you're
it was stabbed
to blame.
In the heart.
Does anyone make me an investigation check?
Oh, I'm good at this.
I want to roll one.
12 plus 1 is 13.
15 minus 1 is 14.
That's a 14 minus 1, Jonathan.
No, it gives me the modified score.
Oh, it already modifies it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so what did you get? What did you get, Forrest?
13.
It's a bummer. Person with the negative modifier got the best score.
Right. Yeah, holy shit. Yeah, so as you're sort of like looking around at the body, Evan, you're just like, it got shot through the heart. You don't know what to, like, you know what to say about it. And like all of you are sort of like looking at the body, you all sort of notice that the rug that it's sitting on is the only thing with blood on it.
Is that normal?
Like, as if like it was stabbed or something, the blood should be like all around the rug. It's just like sat in the middle of the rug.
I'm gonna tentatively kick at the rug.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Yeah, you kick at the rug and it just kind of like flops back down.
Did you think the rug was a mimic?
No.
Oh, that's what I thought.
I was just curious if it was dirty.
The rug is kind of dirty too.
Like, abnormally dirty for being an indoor rug.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You kick underneath the rug and do you like look underneath the rug or are you just gonna kick it?
I kind of look a little bit, but I mostly just looking for like an abnormal poof of dirt.
You lift the rug and like underneath seems like it is dirty. It's like dirty consistently with the rest of the floor.
Oh, so it's not like abnormally dirty then. Okay.
No.
Well, is there another creature in here with us?
What's that?
Is there an animal with us? Like, is there a Mrs. Moody the monkey?
No. There's no Mrs. Moody the monkey. But as you sort of like think about this, there's like a little thing of smoke that goes right next to your nose, and you look down to see Perry kind of next to you, sort of like smoking.
Moody the monkey was a confirmed bachelor, if you know what I mean.
So,
it's a chill animal community, but the homophobia runs deep.
Yeah, yeah. Some might say balls deep.
Oh, no.
Does it look like he was peacefully sleeping, or is it more of a violent death in his, like, expression and his...
It's a violent death.
Well,
did he die of natural causes from the stab
sort
wound?
Of looking at his face and his demeanor, like his face is sort of relaxed by now and everything. It does look like he's got like a little trench coat on. But what
does
you
he have
notice,
defensive wounds?
There are actually no wounds on the trench coat itself. The trench coat seems to be fine.
Did he have a sleep activated heart stone wounds that on just his shot hands? Out of his chest?
Does he have any? He doesn't have any wounds on his hands. His hands are just dirty.
So but he noticed... does not have defensive wounds, so he did not try to defend himself. So he was unaware of the attack until it was too late.
Or he was like, bring it on, bitch.
Maybe I shouldn't have done a murder mystery with a murderologist? I don't know. What is the a forensic scientist?
With a birdologist.
The birdologist. Steph, your character recognizes that Moody doesn't have his hat on. He usually wears a fedora.
Yo, where's his hat?
Is Moody Chip? Like, from Chip and Dale? Is that how he's dressed?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yep. I think less Indiana Jones, more like 40s detective, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so like Dick Tracy. Ooh,
here for that.
Yeah.
Dick Tracy.
I think I'm attracted to this monkey.
Definitely like Dick Tracy.
All right, so she just sort of like, she literally asked the wall, where's his hat?
Cody, is there a hat?
Oh no, Steph, why are you doing this to me? Are you casting it?
I'm not saying the wall needs to be a character, she just doesn't recognize that the wall's not a character.
Sorry. Oh god, did you think she was about to cast Magic Bell?
Should I roll another investigation to look for the hat?
Yeah, you can roll another investigation for look to the hat. Steph, the wall doesn't say anything back to you. I don't know if I feel like
you
I have to say that.
Strong, silent type.
That's a lot of 13s in your past.
Another 13.
This fucking guy. And she points to the wall.
You look around for the hat. You notice that there's another hammock kind of like high up in like the hollowed out tree. Sort of there's like a little platform where it looks like that where his bed is. You'll have to get up there somehow, but you're thinking if anywhere in this room, it would probably be up here because you can't find it anywhere else.
Sure. I'm sure my eighth strength is ripe for climbing.
And how are you going to get up there, Estrella? Are you going to like try to climb the walls? Are you going to like get a bunch of furniture and get up there? It does look like there are handholds.
An acrobatics and try to...
She's going to do some flippy shit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to try to do. I mean, I might fail, though.
Do it. Estrella breaks her neck, and Molly has a new character next time.
She
takes 2d10 falling damage all to the neck.
It's quadrupled because it's to the neck. Molly rolls an 8, and unfortunately, Molly, you try to jump up there. Everyone sees Estrella jump up on the table. And then she jumps, like, arms outstretched, like she's about to, like, jump for this thing. And then she just, like, lands on the ground, arms still outstretched. Ah.
Alright, that didn't work out so well.
Here, let me show you how it's done, okay? And she remains lying on the sheet and doesn't do anything.
I see her do that, and I'm like, I've always been good at jumping in things and such, and I'm having trouble finding my voice right now, but I'm gonna give that a go last. And I got a 21.
Ooh, yeah.
So, Connor, unless you want to describe it, I just think Connor does some hardcore parkour up to this little platform.
Once she started doing that, I'm looking at my character sheet, I'm like, my acrobatics bonus is a 7.
Dang.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Got that dex.
As you get up there, you sort of see this little, like, patch of hay and grass and stuff, and that kind of looks to be his bed and whatnot. You look, there's actually, like, a little coat rack, sort of, like, next to the bed, sort of, like, in the corner, where someone would, like, hang, like, a trench coat and their hat, but neither of them seem to be there. And as this is all going on, I would like all of you to roll me a perception.
I yelled down, the coat rack's empty. I got a 16.
Thank you, Connor.
I got a 14 total.
I got a 6.
What did Molly get? Oh, there it goes. Molly got a 12. John got a 16.
Right, we're rolling in the thing.
You can if you want.
I forgot, Forrest, so I rolled IRL.
Nah, that's cool. Forrest rolls IRL too. Forrest, what did you get to?
I got 14 total.
Okay. With that, I think Connor is the one that notices it because he's so up high. But Connor, as you sort of like look back down to yell, you notice that from like the walls of the hollow tree, you see an ooze start like coming out of the wall.
Oh.
And then it sort of like drips down a little bit and it sort of splashes on the ground. And that's when both Molly and Forrest notice this. And then all of you, except for Steph's character, look around at all the doors and you realize that it's gotten a lot darker in here. And you look around to the windows and you notice the windows are sort of like tinted. Like there are no glass in these windows, but now it looks like there is glass and sort of like it's made the room a bit darker.
I cast light.
Okay, now there's a light in the room and you can clearly see the ooze coming into the tree.
Also, my character has extremely bloodshot eyes.
I just ask your character, do the trees normally ooze like that, Les?
Do they? Cody, should I roll for that?
Please roll me another perception check. But this time you're actually looking at it, so.
I did not great again. 12.
The trees don't usually ooze like this, but with a 12 you actually notice that there is, dark flecks of a dark red stone inside of this ooze.
Ooh. I mean, like, not normally, but, you know, maybe it's just a garnet thing, because, like, garnet does as garnet does, you know what I mean?
She tries to escape
garnet. Garnet is a red stone.
It is a red stone.
I just realized that, too.
I knew that, it didn't matter for Connor. Connor wouldn't have known that. It's the January birthstone, I believe, as well.
That's a good pull for John. I think
that's right. Yeah,
that's a good pull. It is a very good pull, actually.
Is the ooze garnet, I say, as I draw my swords.
Oh, interesting. I'm just thinking about how that could possibly tie into... Doesn't matter.
So the ooze starts like falling and dripping on the ground and you see it sort of like sort of wiggling and wobbling. Evan, as soon as you say, is garnet the ooze? You see one of the little piles of ooze on the ground sort of shift towards your direction, kind of like very slowly, inchworm-like. What do you guys do?
Wait, so do we all see this?
Yeah, you all see this. It's like a little pile of like maybe like a pizza pie, a thing of ooze on the ground, and it's sort of inching its way towards Evan.
I'd be like, Evan, stand back. Don't touch that.
I cast Rite of Flame and Rite of Cold, or Rite of the Storm and Rite of Cold on my scimitars.
Your scimitars light up with your power.
Whoa. We need to, like, de-escalate this. This is really...
There's an ooze!
Yeah, do we know that this is safe?
It's just an ooze, man. It's doing what ooze do. Like, you can't fault it for that.
It's wiggling ominously.
I'm gonna roll perception to see if it is wiggling ominously. Excellent. I critted.
Oh yeah, it is very much wiggling ominously. You feel like Garnet is a little PO'd.
Look. It's just Garnet, you know, doing Garnet thing. Like, who are we to judge?
Do you mean the...
You don't know.
The thing you said was going to kill us? That one?
Ooh, that's not good. Like, it's not necessarily
going to kill you. It's just killed every other humanoid but me.
Wait, it's humanoid. Been in the brush. The monkey was being very human. Is that a thing? Is that bad?
Oh.
Did Garnet
do
it?
That's why.
Why is it okay with you? I mean, you seem nice, but you are also definitely human. Oh, wait.
I don't know. I'm just chill, man. Like, people like me all the time. Everybody who's ever met me has been super into me and enjoyed my company.
I feel like there might be some canonical episodes that would disagree with that assessment. But...
Oh man, that ain't true.
You hear from the ground of this ooze. Yes, Rainbow is very chill. Rainbow Moonshine is very great.
I get Twitter messages all the time from people who love me. It's great.
The bluebirds do in fact love her. What?
I said, is she secretly a snow creature?
Oh.
Oh.
No, but she does let it go.
And I'm going to say, Garnet, what are you doing? We're not here to hurt anyone.
I see evidence to the contrary.
What? We just protecting ourselves, that is all.
Rainbow points to Evan's flaming and icy scimitars.
No. One is icy, one is crackling with lightning.
One is icy and one is soups gay.
Okay. Well, they're probably both soups gay, I'll be honest, from what I've learned from this character so far.
Fair.
I mean, I feel like the key component of this character is just, like, really, really teen angst. Mm.
I think she needs to leave Rainbow, don't you?
Woo! Whoa! Whoa!
Who's she talking to?
She's like, excuse me?
And it's sort of like the amorphous form sort of like flows up into like it is made of like this weird like gel substance with dark flecks of red. And you see two large garnet gemstones as eyes and like as shards breasts. Of it as teeth. And it says, I think she needs to leave. And it points out like an amorphous.
You guys have been here for like 6 months. You know, didn't you have to go to Pallet Town or something?
Yes. But... I don't feel like, what? This was a justified death? Mr. Mooney the monkey? Why is he dead, sir?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, that's what you're trying to figure out. Are you sure about that? You didn't kill him?
Rude half.
Yeah. The room gets a bit darker and begins to shake.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
dear. Uh-oh.
You can't just, like, come into people's forests and, like, accuse them of murder. That is so not chill.
Uh-oh.
What makes you believe that you... What makes you... Ah, goddammit. It's hard to be threatening sometimes. Goddammit. What makes you think that I killed them? What about you and your creatures wandering through our woods all the time, interrupting our ways...
We've literally never been here before today, and that was because she invited us.
Garnet, like, stops, like, everything stops shaking, and she turns around and she stares up at you. Like, she's just realized you were in the room. What are you doing here?
I do what my boss here tells me. I think her name's Disco Stew. She doesn't advertise.
She like looks around the room. Garnet looks around the room and is just like, okay, if you care so much, then you will stay here and you will solve the murder of this monkey. But if you fail, then this forest will have you forever.
Who's that directed towards? Is that directed towards me specifically?
No, I think it's directed towards me, if you were mentioning me.
Yes, you. And you will break ties with her.
Oh, okay.
So this is all dependent on my ability to figure things out?
Oh no.
And as you say this,
oh, yes.
As you say this, a blue deer phases through the wall and starts jumping around the room.
Do I recognize this one?
Yes.
Hey! It's the deer friend I've been telling you about. See, I'm not crazy.
Rest of us see this?
Yeah, all of the rest of you see this blue, like, oh, like this, kind of like, have you ever seen in Breath of the Wild, there is like this blue deer sort of in the lake? It's very glowy, it's just completely blue, it's this really bright blue, has like horns on and stuff, it actually has like a bunch of like gems even on itself. This one has like a gemstone on its like forehead, and it's jumping around the room all like happy, and you see like bubbles are coming out of it.
I thought I'd never find you, friend.
It, like, stops and it stamps its feet and looks up at you.
I don't suppose I understand. The stamping of the feet. Does it seem happy? With me, specifically?
It seems very happy. Excellent. It's, like, looking up at you.
I'm gonna start climbing down.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You climb down and it, like, sort of, like, walks over and helps you down.
Thank you very much.
It bows to you.
I return the bow.
And Garnet, like, looks around, and he's like, Rainbow, too much is going on. I, I need to pee. I can't deal with all of this right now.
Wait, did you see that too?
Yes. No. She should be here. Watch them for me. Would you be a dear?
She's the deer. That deer.
Yeah. You're a bad person.
You see Garnet face palm with her amorphous ooze blob, and then the blob sort of like goes back down to the ground, and like light returns to the room, and there's that deer that's sort of like shedding blue next to you, and sort of like it seems really happy to be there.
Does this happen to you guys all the time?
We do have some weird shit happen to us. Yes.
I met this deer in the cave. Can I tell if it's a male or female?
No, I don't, yeah.
Wait, no, a deer is always, wait.
Oh, wait, if it doesn't antlers, have antlers. Yeah,
the buck is.
The question then becomes, would Connor know that?
I don't know.
I'll say, they were very friendly in the cave, but something spooked it, I think.
It nods its head vehemently.
Oh.
And it's going to jump around the room and, like, boop all of you. It's going to boop Connor, like, kind of, like, boop him in the chest with its snoot. And it's going to run over to Crystal Light, damn it.
It runs really far.
Nope, Starella. And it's going to boop Starella. Like, it's going to, like, go towards Starella. Are you going to let it come near you, Starella?
Oh, yeah. I will.
It's going to boop you in the chest. And it's going to come towards Evan. But it's going to, like, it's been hopping this entire time, but it's going to, like, stop and slowly make its way up towards Evan. Like, very cautiously.
Like creeping its little deer fingers up her chest?
Kind of? No. Like, actually, like clip-clopping very, very slowly. Fine. Very tiny, tiny steps right, towards
I'm
Evan.
Erase my fanfic. Evan looks
just, she looks so spooky.
I will sheathe my scimitars.
It's gonna boop you in the chest.
I'm gonna say rainbow, was it? Can you speak with this deer?
It's not a real animal, so probably not, right? Unless it is a real animal.
It doesn't seem to be. Do you have anything to like let you detect stuff?
I don't think so.
I'm gonna give the deer head scratches.
It like accepts like the head scratches.
Nah, I don't have detect magic or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, no, if you it doesn't seem to be talking at any, but you all feel a little bit lighter in your chest. Evan, you accepted the boopness?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you're kind of, like, scratching it behind the ears, Connor. It seems friendly. And, everyone in the room hears Perry very clearly. Oh, man, that was fucking weird. Do you think Garnet's pissed at us?
Wait, we can understand you now? That's exciting. And she didn't...
Wait, you couldn't before?
I definitely couldn't. I can't speak for them. Like, they're much more wise to the ways of the world than I am. I'm just a simple potato farmer who spontaneously got powers, but...
Huh. Well, that's cool, I guess. You guys want a weed stick?
I'm okay. I think that we need to solve this murder mystery.
Perry starts passing out weed sticks. Dope. Nothing like a good mystery and some weed, huh?
That's an expression I haven't come across in any of the lands I've traveled to, but...
Wait, really?
Quick aside. There's no way the temporary hit points I got in the cave still exist, right?
No.
Okay, I'm deleting them now. I just noticed they were still on my character sheet. I'm like, that seems wrong.
I feel like we would have... It's been a night, right?
Yeah.
Everything's back to normal.
Yeah, it's been a night.
All right, so... Perry, do you have any idea how we could communicate with this deer, perhaps?
No, I mean, it's the first time. It doesn't look like Linda or Louise, but like... hello, dear. How are you? Welcome to the Cashew Bush, Hamlet, and facilities. If you want...
Oh my god, why did I never think of that before?
If you want some herbal medicines, come to me. Perry, I am the greatest.
That's out of character laughter.
Okay. The deer just like stands there, like cocks its head staring at him.
I feel like maybe I'm wrong, guys, but I feel like this deer might have some, maybe has some idea of what's going on right now. I don't know. I could be wrong.
You see it shake its head back and forth. No.
When I say I could be wrong, or when I say
the deer might have some idea of what's going on, and it shakes its head. Okay. No.
The important thing. Oh, the important thing about it. Him or her is that they're my friend.
Okay. Well, we'll just let deer come along. I think we need to start investigating that, because I'd really like to survive. That'd be great.
And with that, I'm going to call it to a close. We're going to start investigating. It's a very good start in the investigation. But my daughter's here, and I have a little bit of time before I go to work, so I'm going to go see her.
That's fair.
That's rude of you to hang out with your daughter.
I know, right? It's very rude. Oh,
God.
So,
I'm just stoked I met the deer.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to the Dire Weasels podcast. We played a game today. We hope you had fun. We had fun. We had fun with our guest, who will hopefully join us next time.
Otherwise it's going to seem really disjointed.
Yeah. And then,
although
like,
disjointed is a really good way to determine her or to describe her, to be honest.
Disjoint. Like the weed.
Like
Forrest
the
got it.
Thing.
Forrest got the deep layers of symbolism that I was laying down.
Damn. Yeah, it was you might say balls deep.
I wouldn't.
You're just all about being balls deep today, Jonathan.
Speaking of balls deep, I have a quick question for y'all.
I was wondering where that was going.
Oh, wow.
Do you guys want to get balls deep in these emails?
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail!
Oh, sure.
Oh, while John's pulling those up, we have 3 iTunes reviews.
Wow.
Ooh. Holy shit.
That might be a record for one time period for us.
Yeah, no, it's really, well, it's also been a month.
That's good for
we have
a
5-star review called I Am a Fox by Hack Fox, and he says, and I am in you. That would be our last guest host, Fox. Go check him out. Silvery Elf gave us a review and said, I aspire to be this crazy. Only on episode 40, but solidly loving this podcast. Always good to brighten my day, except when players have to leave. Well, you got a little bit more of that to come. So, wherever you guys are 2 years in the future from where I'm currently listening, hold your players hostage retroactively. Because obviously you figured out chronomancy, so you can make it so no players left ever, right? I'm not sure a review is supposed to be written to the cast, but there it is. Listen to this podcast to brighten your day. Gerbo commands it. Hell yeah, he does. Gerbo's the one true god. A Michigan Marauder gives us a review and says, audio ointment really scratches that itch. You know the one. That might be my new favorite review. Good job, Michigan Marauder.
You guys got some good reviews.
Those are some good reviews.
Those are baller reviews.
Very nice work, people. Very nice.
All right, I've got emails now. And after a long emailing hiatus, this one comes from William Lamond. Been a while. Yeah, I was waiting for someone, because I do it when someone else says it, but I don't do it if I'm the one that says
it. You can't do it when you said it.
That's a rule. Anyway, he says, hi, Weasel Wranglers.
Hello.
Wow. Fuzzykins is actually a lord now. Really sorry I missed that. I think I still experienced echoes of the time I thought some of you were actually mean to Forrest. You act too well for me. Please email me a link to the episode that leads into one of the actual big weasels becoming a peer. We would have to figure out what that is before we did that, because
I think it would just be it would be
around the beginning of Cody's DMing. But
we should, you know, yeah, we should just send him the
preamble stuff.
Cody's, yeah, that would be. I feel like that's a good idea.
Anyway, he also says, and I really am concerned that Molly has been available for podcasting during tax prep season. I hope it means she's found an even better job.
No, but I have gotten better at the work-life balance, so that's excellent.
Jump-in episodes. I'm listening to Mail Time from one of the Democracy is Approaching episodes. I remember Traction Park. That was fun. That is true. Traction Park was fun. I've been busy working on web design for my webcomic site for a class. That's work that doesn't go well with listening to a podcast. That makes sense. Yes. I was also working a lot on drawing for an online charity auction. Here's a link to the 50 to 100 hour work and some close-ups, which I haven't actually looked at yet, so I'll have to do that after we're done. But I only raised $35 for Lauren Hughes, and only because I bid on my own work, so it would go for more than the minimum bid. You're keeping me company and giving me good mental activity on my very part-time minimum wage janitor job. That's how it's pronounced, right? Janitor?
Definitely.
Indeed.
Thank you for backing me. Most recently, I was sweeping cobwebs off the ceiling of a parking deck with a small broom while holding my smartphone to my ear so I could hear you over a loud electric motor. You were helping a lot. You don't have headphones?
Maybe not a lot of headphones.
Maybe. Thanks for being there, and I'm sorry I've missed so much. Maybe if I get more work hours where I listen, I'll be able to catch up a bit. And thanks for emailing. It's been a while.
Yes, thank you.
This is from Mark. He says...
Hi, Mark.
He says, so I feel personally attacked because of last week's email section. Maybe some of us don't have a fantastic memory when we're focused on editing and forget to take notes about questions we may have to send to direweasels@gmail.com. On another note, I'm looking forward to Molly interrogating someone with detect thoughts and having secret conversations with people with her awakened mind.
Ooh. Oh, well, that is very helpful, and that is something I should write down right now.
Thanks for reminding Molly she can do that.
Though awakened mind is only one way. Molly, would Sorella ever use awakened mind on someone to convince them that they're crazy or otherwise manipulate them to steal a large sum of money? I feel like the answer to this is no. Sorella's like our closest thing to a good character.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't, well, I mostly wouldn't do that just because I don't think I would...
Need the money?
Well, yeah.
You've got that royal backing.
Yeah, that is not something I'm concerned about.
He also had a parenthetical that I didn't notice. He said, or use detect thoughts to question them about where they hide their money so you can steal it later.
I mean, I do love money, but I don't think that...
I mean, what Goldstein doesn't?
Yes, of course. But I don't think along those lines. I think of it more of a, like, scheming to get money in other ways.
He says, that person that used the email you, Mark. And
thank you, Mark.
Let's see. This one.
Nerd.
Hi, Dyer. We hope you've enjoyed being a Dropbox Plus user for the past year. Your subscription will renew automatically on May 30th, 2018. Keep doing more with Dropbox Plus. Box Plus. Don't leave space for all your stuff.
Will you give up on this dude?
Control over who sees shared files and links. Peace of mind when devices go missing. Looking for even more? Upgrade to Dropbox Business to let your team collaborate.
We have an email from Brad.
On important projects anywhere.
Hi guys.
IT
and control. I've been thinking karaoke a lot lately. Just wondered if you all do karaoke. If so, what songs do you like to sing, and what are your favorite songs to hear other people sing? Well, Brad, I've only done karaoke like once in the past 10 years, and the song I sang was Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, because I was in Nashville. So
shit.
That's Forrest.
All right, I'm disappointed in you for only doing karaoke once in 10 years, but fuck, you nailed it. So, like, I can't be that mad.
I did really good the one time I did it, though.
I was also really worried for a hot minute that, like, my Brad had, like, emailed you while I was recording. And I was like, hi, Direweasels. Why are you stealing my girlfriend from me for, like, 3 hours?
It's what we do, to be fair.
Yeah.
Anyone who listens to this podcast could probably guess that I've karaoke'd I Believe in a Thing Called Love relatively recently. Just listen to the rhythm of my heart! And then I also attempted to do It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine, but that's a really fastly sung song, so it's tricky to keep up with it, but it's a fun one to try.
Fair.
You have to practice that.
Yeah. I mean, I know reasonably well, because I'm a fairly big REM fan, but... Molly.
Yes, for me, I am actually planning on having karaoke at my wedding. So
hell yeah!
How much I love karaoke, but actually, I really just enjoy listening to other people sing. I have done songs before, but my voice is in a weird range, and sometimes I feel like I just can't get it very well. But I like to do, like, I don't even know what I like to do. Weird songs.
Girl, no, nobody judges at karaoke. It's a judgment-free zone.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Especially if there's drinking involved.
Yeah, well, I mean, helps. That's the key. Yeah. Like, I really hope everyone's drunk enough that no one is...
Yeah, if I'm not drunk, I turtle up and just don't sing at all. What about Steph? Do you like to sing specific things?
So I love karaoke. I lived in Asia for 2 years, so I did karaoke a shit ton. And I don't need to be drunk at all to sing karaoke. So my two kind of staples are Wannabe by the Spice Girls.
Hell yeah.
Here's a story from A to Z. That's a good one.
Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson is also
hell
great.
Hell yeah.
So we need to like an anthem so far.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I play to the crowd. And a good finisher is always Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler.
Oh,
I one time
if you only sing... Yeah, if you only sing three karaoke songs in your life, make it those, and you will have a great time.
I one time was you not drunk my enough cold to gay get heart. Through that, and I just clammed up and just freaked out and went and had a drink and came back up later and sang something after I drank.
No. Another fun thing to do is you'd pick literally any Adele song, and just you have to sing it like you're dying, though.
No.
I don't know.
Like, you just,
I only know a handful
are
of
telling
Adele
your
songs.
Family you have stage 4 cancer.
No.
I think a good song to sing that I've never done that I'd like to see get done is I'll Make a Man Out of You.
Yes.
See, that's not on a lot of karaoke things, which sucks because it is a great song and I would love to do that. But a lot of those sort of like less, like if it's a Disney song that's not basically in like The Lion King or maybe like Beauty and the Beast and The Little Mermaid, they're really rare actually.
Huh.
Because Under the Sea is also a great karaoke song.
Under the Sea.
I hate Little Mermaid.
I have definitely karaoke'd
a whole world.
Down
where to take it from me.
But if any of y'all are coming to GeeklyCon, we're doing karaoke there, and it's like YouTube karaoke, so you can just like do any song that's on YouTube. So yeah.
The last time I did karaoke was in Portland at GeeklyCon.
Me too. Well, no, that wasn't the last time, but I was very drunk for that, so I don't remember you being there at all. Sorry, John.
There were two rooms as well.
Yeah. I think
I'm pretty sure I was probably in the same one as you, though.
It's possible. I was in a room, and I feel like Brad was definitely in my room.
Yeah, I was probably in there then.
Josh was in the room.
Yup.
He fucking killed Forgot About Dre. Killed it.
That
was so good.
Karaoke is fun.
It is.
Everybody go do it.
Hi, voice from the ether here. Hi, I'm back.
Hey,
Cody's back from hanging out with his child.
Hey,
whatever.
Cody, what do you like to karaoke?
I was listening to you guys do the karaoke thing. I was there with you in
Portland.
Yeah,
you
Portland.
Sang the darkness with me.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Don't remember that at all. I was very drunk at karaoke, guys.
I think.
Yeah, Cody was my partner in crime for that one.
Yeah, I like getting very drunk and drinking and doing karaoke too.
It's the best way to do it because I'm kind of self-conscious generally speaking, but that fights it.
Sames. I'm not sure if it counts if you don't have the microphone, but the last song I sung at karaoke, I believe, was the intro level to Sonic Adventure Battle 2.
Oh.
What?
I forget the name of the song. It's like a...
Are there lyrics?
There are lyrics, yeah.
Oh, okay. I think there's like a...
Around every turn. Trust your feelings. It's Live and Learn. That's what it is. Live and Learn. Sorry. Someone else was singing it, and I was dancing in the background, and I jumped up on a chair and started singing it with her.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, the other things I sing is alphabet aerobics, because I practice that to help with my speech.
Shit.
I think I was... very drunk one night and muttering it to myself on a couch while drunk. But like other songs like Darkness, I love Toxic by Britney Spears.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Because people know the words and they get into it.
Full disclosure, I would be willing to try and sing basically anything that I actually enjoy. Like, you know, as far as music goes, if I like a song and it's on a machine, I would probably give it a go.
See, my poor brain is like, I am now into electronica, so like none of it has lyrics. So if you give me like a decent 90s song, I will know it.
You should do Loveful.
Loveful?
Cardigans. That's a good one.
I don't.
Yeah.
See, I don't know.
You know the song. You know the song.
I probably do. Also, if you just pull up a country song that's like from early 90s, I'll probably know that one too. And can sing
it thank you.
Pretty decently.
Got it.
I got friends in.
That song is so bad.
I will too.
Places where the whiskey.
Am I the only person on the podcast who doesn't like country?
The blues away.
No, I only liked country in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Y'all, 90s country is good karaoke.
No, I mean, it's but it's bad music.
Oh, yeah, no, it's terrible. But, like, the lyrics are pretty, like, rememberable and, like, not, like, the stuff that they have nowadays about, like, I don't know, crazy ass shit.
These young people in their country.
Young people in their fucking country.
There's a weird, I mean, it's not weird, but there's, like, somewhere someone created an audio file that, like, basically just demonstrated that all modern country follows the exact same structure.
Yeah, it really does.
And if you would like to hear more about how country sucks, come listen to my podcast, Love to Hate, also on the S House Studio Network.
Oh,
we're at Love to Hate Cast on Twitter.
That was a good opportunistic take on that. I mean, we
literally unmuted my mic just to jump in on that.
I really hate the whole when the country, like back in the 90s, they didn't try to be pop music, and now they try to be pop music. That's my take on that.
I mean, it's been a little more gradual than that description would indicate, though, because the stuff from the 90s is fairly removed from like Johnny Cash and that kind of stuff too. So it's it's like
country has also adopted like a weird patriotism vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I wasn't here for that.
It's also effectively Jesus music at this point, but anyway, we should probably move on to the next email.
Yeah.
We talked about karaoke for like 3 hours.
We did. Worth it.
This is from Gail. New emailer Gail. She says,
"Oh, Gail.
I'm writing to you guys while listening to your episodes from a couple of years ago. Just finished episode 69. I was waiting for someone to say
yeah, Gail.
Nice.
So I feel like I'm writing to your two-year past selves, even though you'll read it 2 years worth of podcasts into the future. So while this might not be a current goof for you anymore, chronomancy.
We have fallen off the chronomancy is eternal. Train.
You know, I just received Diary Weasel's email that says otherwise, so... I don't know. You might have to wait and see what you will, because you're not at this episode.
By the way, episode 29 is where John introduces Kobold Chronomancer, so it's sort of fitting. I've been hesitant to write because I figure in all probability any funny spots I might have noticed have already been noticed by your other listeners, but I haven't heard this particular item addressed. In one of the first episodes with Grimgar Bumblefuck, Cody describes him as having basically every sexual organ known to man. A couple of episodes later, you guys joke about Grimgar jacking off somewhere else while Madison and Mike were doing something else, and it immediately popped into my brain to wonder which organ Grimgar was interacting with. I'm sure Cody probably doesn't remember at this point how Grimgar was masturbating in that particular episode, but I'm curious if you put any thought into how exactly that would work. Would
absolutely.
Would.
Yes, this is a good question. I would like to know the answer.
I believe Forrest probably has most of the information about Grimgar than anyone else. I've actually played Grimgar in more stuff than just Dire Weasels. I'm actually playing him in a different campaign. When I said that he has everyone know to man, I'm pretty sure that I was kind of joking.
I mean, to be fair, every genitalia known to man is like two.
Yeah, true.
Wait, like three, right?
And like people in a non-fantasy world sometimes have that, so...
It can be hard to tell with us when we're joking and when we're not, though, so I get it. Further added on, would just one sort of simulation work? Would he have to have interacted with multiple organs at the time to achieve blastoff?
I feel like Grimgar is a he would like to immerse himself in all pleasures of the world. So I think all at the same time, probably involving some sort of tool, maybe inviting, I don't know, other people to join?
Why not?
Here's the next line, which I have to read the way I'm going to read it. It's possible that I fixated on that way too much. It's probably because Cody's voice is just so damn sexy.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be it.
No, definitely not.
God damn it. Thanks.
You invited me on your show, sucker.
Now she dunked on you.
They should have told you it was a bad idea.
Looking forward to catching up with your present podcast. I included that emoji specifically because of John's distaste for them. Okay, this is the line of the email. Gail. Gerbo is a false god. Thanks for the hours of entertainment, Gail. And then Gail,
I liked you up until then.
Gail emailed us again. So Tyler emailed us.
No, but seriously, thank you for Gail. The second email, Gail.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Oh, Gail, we hope you come to GeeklyCon.
Yes. I also hope come that even though I won't be there.
I will. I'll replace John and Forrest.
Honestly, quality level, that probably scans. I'm mediocre. Anyway, sorry. Been a while between mail. In the chaos been of life, time has been scarce. Hope all is well with my favorite people, and while I'm not current on the episodes, I now hope to be soon. Time for random drunk and sleep-deprived questions. One, John, given the chance, would you deeply and passionately kiss a current WWE star? Which one of each gender? I know nothing of the current stars, so how do I get up to date? How you get up to date is by watching. Female, I would probably passionately kiss Becky Lynch. Male, I have to think about this because I'm not actually attracted to men, but like, you know, I mean, I appreciate Dean Ambrose's mic work, so I'll say him, even though I actually think that would be kind of weird.
Hold on, Dean Ambrose?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious.
Are you implying, like, do you think mic work would translate to, like, dick work?
No, I'm just saying it's the best metric I can think of.
I mean,
you're into what you're into.
Choose again, John. I'm not into him.
Okay, who do I think I bet Forrest would make out with Finn Balor.
Finn Balor.
Who's Forrest?
Okay, I'm actually sort of here for this. He looks like he would treat me badly but be a really good lay.
He's actually been wearing like pro LGBTQ shirts like when he comes out to the ring on occasion.
Nice. Is he a heel? Yeah, he looks like a heel.
That's because he looks like the Fonz, but no, he's not a heel.
Listeners, when you read this 2 weeks ago, the Irish passed.
They passed it?
Well, this is. Yeah, they did.
Yes!
They legalized abortion, so, hey.
Ooh, Seth Rollins.
Really?
Yeah.
He's doing, like, he's one of the best actual wrestlers. Like, if you like watching, you know. Actually, you should watch some of his matches because he's super athletic, so you'd be into it.
He looks a little greasy.
They all do that to their hair. Like so,
I don't like that.
So many people wrestle with wet hair. It's weird. I don't know why.
Okay, can you passionately kiss the guy I just said, Seth Rollins?
Well, maybe it's because they're sweating and it's not actually sweat.
No, I'm like, pretty sure not everyone has wet hair. I think some people pre-wet their hair before matches.
Interesting.
Cody, what character from an animated movie would you get drunk with? Would you be okay waking up in the spoon with them?
I don't know. Animated movie?
Yes.
I feel like I had a long time to think about this, but like the first thing that pops up in my head is Lola Bunny. Sorry.
That ain't a bad answer.
Yeah. Second would definitely be Robin Hood from the animated movie Robin Hood.
That sick-ass fox?
The sick-ass fox, okay. Yes.
Mm. What about Jessica Rabbit? That's like kind of an animal, but not.
Yeah, I don't...
That's true.
I used to work with someone who was super into Lola Bunny.
I'm not like super into her, but it was like the first thing that pops in my head was like, get drunk with. Gaston.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh man, no, Gaston would be that guy who like comes 30 seconds in and is like, we're good for you, baby.
No, he wouldn't ask. He'd say, clearly, that was good for you.
Yeah.
Right. I just mean getting drunk with. Because, like, apparently songs just like pop up near him, so I'd be down.
That's true. No one drinks like Gaston.
No one spoons like Gaston.
Mm.
No one two pump chumps like Gaston.
Absolutely.
He's especially good at ejaculating.
That's all that I can think of right now.
Guy that Gaston.
Molly, what's a better tax write-off? Starting my own charitable fight club for underprivileged tarantulas or donating sugar to hungry bees? Best guess, please.
My best guess is starting the charity, because I don't think that you could donate. Typically, in tax law, you cannot donate directly to an individual, and I would imagine a bee is an individual.
What if it's like a group of bees? Like
a hive.
But then, well, yeah, see, that's where it kind of...
But then, are you donating to the hive, or are you donating to the queen?
Also, how do you sell a fight club as a charitable thing?
That's a good question as well.
Reducing the amount of rogue tarantulas on the street?
Especially because you don't talk about Tarantula Fight Club,
too.
Yes, I think so. I that's how it reads to me, anyway.
I thought it was a charitable fight club, which would benefit underprivileged tarantulas.
Oh, so are you like charging people to come to the fight club, and then they spend the money on
that
underprivileged
tarantulas?
Okay. See, Tyler, hit us back up with which thing you mean. this one, the one true forest. You have
That's me.
$149,784.91 to impress one of your favorite celebrities into making a movie about the podcast, which for a movie budget's not that large. Who plays who? What romances will evolve? Will Danny DeVito kiss Vin Diesel?
Okay. I'm gonna start with your last question first. Yes, Danny DeVito will kiss Vin Diesel. Don't know if it'll be in this movie, but it will happen.
He's gonna need a ladder.
So, honestly, I would sort of assume that whenever anybody got the spec script for this project, they would sign on before saying how much we were going to pay them. And so I would give Danny DeVito about $100,000 just for his starring, obviously, role as Gerbo. And so then those like remaining $49,784 would go to me for my producer / consultant credit. And the last 91 cents, I would give to, let's go with Gary Busey to play Neelis.
Just stay away.
I feel like he would do it. He's probably desperate. Yeah. So that's how I would cast it.
Really quickly, before I wrap wrap this up, Steph, since you didn't get a question, any of those questions you want to answer?
I've forgotten all of them.
Kiss a wrestler, spoon an animated movie character, tax write-off movie.
I feel like spooning Baymax from Big Hero 6 would be pretty good.
Oh, I would spoon the fuck out of Baymax.
That's a good answer. Why did I just...
Either that or like Snorlax.
Oh yeah, because there were Pokemon movies.
Yeah.
Dude, I'd spoon a Pokemon.
There's so many. I think there's even some that is a literal spoon, so.
hold on.
There is one that's like
Pokemon.
Fucking key Pokemon.
There is one that's...
Chuck your key Pokemon in a bowl and have a good time.
Yeah, there's an ice cream Pokemon that, I think has a spoon.
Well, Kadabra is holding spoons.
Oh, yeah, sure.
There was, like, a whole thing, like, I think it was, like, last month where people were posting what they would do if they were a gym leader in Pokemon World.
Gym leader sonas,
and my gym was a restaurant where the losing, the Pokemon are all food themed and the losing team gets eaten.
Huh.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
That's hot.
Anyway, he says, you all are wonderful and continue to bring me unrelenting joy. Tyler, P.S. I got a genuine John laugh out of my famous comment. I was beaming with pride.
Aw.
I think that's all the emails. Yeah, that's all the emails.
That's it.
Thanks for emailing us. We like that. Do more of it, everybody.
Hell yeah.
Diarweasels@gmail.com.
That's where to shove your emails. Balls deep into
balls
us.
Balls deep.
Balls deep.
If you have a shorter thing, you can go on the Twitterverse and like add us
context.
At Diarweasels.
But only if you have a small penis.
Oh, okay, I get it. Because the balls, I get it. You can also find the rest of us at our. I already said that. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm your GM. I'm Cody. I'm at Cody3.
I'm Forrest. I'm at WALK6070.
John is at Absurdist Kobold and referring to himself in the third person.
I'm Molly. You can find me at MollyMM9.
And I'm Steph, and you can find me at Steph O. Kingston. And on the S House Studio Network, you can find me on Love to Hate. And also Arclight.
Tell us more about Arclight, Steph.
Yes, indeed.
Arclight is a, what's the word? Fucking
podcast?
Where you have, like, a series of stories.
RPG, actual play.
It is all those things that you just... Yeah, so Arclight is an anthology podcast. We play a different game every season, but they're usually sort of in the same general gist. So the first season was Mutant Year Zero, the second season is Coriolis, and we've just started our third season, which is Tales from the Loop. And we have slightly different casts each time. Everybody plays a different character, and it's super fun. It's a little more of a serious tone podcast, so it's very unlike this. But we do still have some fun. It's GM'd by Philip Canada. And there's all sorts of cool people on the podcast, including myself.
Hell yeah.
Go. That sounds great. Check it out.
It's pretty great.
That's Arclight, folks.
I finally listened to the first episode of Arclight.
First season is a bit rough. Like, Mutant Year Zero is a really brutal system. Uh-huh. So it's a lot to get into, but definitely, like, as we get kind of further on and, like, find our feet, and when I joined the show, obviously,
that clearly is a lot. You were the missing ingredient. I was thinking clearly, as I was listening to the first episode, this
fuck
needs
that
more
Will
staff.
Guy, he's the worst.
But he's Robonobo, who is great. Also, hopefully Robonobo still exists by the time I catch up with the villains.
Yeah, you're good.
Because he is great.
Yeah, you're good. Is there anything else that we need to say before we say goodbye? I don't think so.
Thanks for having me, guys. Like, it's super fun to come back after almost 3 years.
It's so weird that we've been doing this for
like, the last time I recorded with you guys, I was sitting on the floor of my shitty New Zealand apartment. I have lived in two countries since then.
Damn.
So crazy.
It's good to have you back.
Yes. Thank you for having me, especially because I know y'all hated my character super bad.
I think that was mostly me.
It was mostly John, yeah. And it's funny, like, I still get Twitter messages now and then, people who have started your show being like, oh my god, like, you're the worst, but I love you.
To be honest, that was one of the thought processes of being like, oh, Vaughn's gone, shit. I'm gonna have to have, like, entertaining people. Oh, we could just have guests on. Fucking Steph.
So, yeah, thank you for thinking of me. I really appreciate it. It's super fun to hang out with you guys, and I can't wait to do it next episode.
Yeah, it'll be a
come
ton
back.
Of
yeah, please. We need to finish this storyline. All right. I think that's all for now. Till next episode. Bye.
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 Go fuck yourselves. You deserve it.
And good night, cunts.
Yeah, that's my new sign-off, Steph. One of the listeners.
I like it.
I think it was
very good.
Succinct.
The music used in the Dire Weasels podcast is Lad Quig Jig by Lad Quig. It is available under a Creative Commons license. For more information, feel free to email us direweasels@gmail.com.